Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, the podcast on purebred dogs. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. So today we are going to talk about shopping for a new puppy. How much more fun can this be? It is fun. But there's some suggestions that we have for you about buying a purebred dog, whether you're doing that for companionship or performance or competition, if you're looking for a show dog or kind of all of the above. It's very exciting. It requires a little bit of patience and some study and some commitment. So we are going to help you out with some tips and some suggestions about how to make this a great experience for everybody. Number one, you've got to remember, you're not going down to the car dealership here. Okay? It's not like you're going to go pick out your favorite color and haggle over the price. This is a living, breathing soul who's going to be with you for 12 or 15 years of your life. This requires a little bit of time, a little bit of commitment, a lot of money and love. This dog will need guidance. It will need food, medical, exercise, attention. I like to think of your new dog as the friend you get to choose, or family you get to choose, instead of thinking of it as sort of an objet d'art that's recycled when you change the decor or move to a new house. So first, I think a very important part of the process is to identify the breed that best fits your family's current and predicted future needs. So for example, do you want a dog that does a specific job? Are you looking for a hunting dog, for example? If you want a hunting dog, what kind of hunting do you do? Do you want a pointing dog, a retriever, a spaniel? These are things that you want to decide. Are you looking for a dog that can help with your livestock? So you want a herding dog? Are you looking for a dog that will help guard your family when you're away? A dog that can be a service dog to work with perhaps a family medical disability, something along those lines. Are you looking for a therapy dog? Someone that can work in your family or even go and provide services to the community as a therapy dog? Or do you just want a buddy who's going to lay on the couch with you? These are all important questions to think about when you start shopping for your new dog. You also need to remember all of the jobs that dogs were bred for. Whether you're going to have them do that job or not, in most cases, they have been bred to do that for centuries. And that's going to have impact on their behavior as companions. Herding dogs are programmed by genetics to herd livestock. Guess what? They're going to herd your kids too, okay? They're going to herd your other pets. They're going to herd you. And if these behaviors are not properly channeled, they can become problematic if you don't work with them. So those are some of the things you need to really think about when you're making this decision. So a list of ideas for you to write down with your family and talk about. The activity level of your dog. Do you want a dog that's high energy and or high drive? So a dog like a border collie, wire haired pointers. These are high energy and high drive. They have limited or even non-existent off switch, if you will, okay? They need mental and physical stimulation, exercise. They need thinking games in order to keep them content. You can't throw one of these dogs out in the backyard and give it a bowl of food once a day and think you're doing it. This isn't going to work. They will entertain themselves and make up their own games, and quite frequently, you aren't going to like these games. They will be games like hide the shoes, reorganize the flower beds, you know, things like that. They're really not in your happy place. Give you an example of something that's maybe lower energy but still very driven would be some of the hounds. Beagles and coonhounds and whippets are generally content to be peaceful and quiet in the house, but they lose all sense of urgency about responding to your commands when their prey drive comes in and they're chasing something or they're trailing something. We used to say that the ears on the Petit Bessec Griffon Fondillon, the PBGV, those were there just for decoration. They had no actual bearing on the dog's ability to hear anything.
Some breeds have both lower energy and lower drive toward prey or any kind of a job function. Dogs like bulldogs, for example, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. Many of the toy dogs were developed primarily as companions. That's their job, and it's one at which they excel. So keeping in mind the energy level, that's number one. Number two, temperament and disposition, right? Do you want an aloof dog or a snuggly dog? Many of the sight hounds, terriers, a lot of the strong guard and protection breeds, these are very devoted dogs, but they're less demonstrative, and they're typically, they're going to be more aloof in their dealings with their families. Spaniels, retrievers, and most of the companion breeds are more inclined towards snuggling, hugging, and demanding a lot more hands-on attention. Consideration number three, the dog's level of tidiness, okay? How much grooming is required, that sort of thing. Some dogs shed a little bit all the time. Some shed a lot all the time. Some only shed a couple times a year. Of course, that comes in an avalanche of hair called blowing coat. Some don't shed much at all, but they require regular trimming and brushing to keep them tidy and clean. So how much time you want to put into that, how much you're willing to get the dog to a professional groomer every 6 to 8 weeks, if that's what's required. You need to think about the flip side to that smushy face on a St. Bernard, is it often comes with a lot of slobber. That quizzical cuteness of a whiskery terrier face brings with it a wet, slimy beard. So these things need to be part of what you're thinking about. Number four on our list of considerations is space. How much room do you have? How much room does the dog need? Do you live in an apartment or do you have a house? Do you rent or do you own? How are you going to keep the dog safe? Do you have a fenced yard? Do you have a dog kennel? Do you have an invisible fence? What are your options for making sure that the dog is just not running amok? Many of the giant breeds actually are more likely to lie down quietly and sleep through the day than some of the smaller dogs. So just simply the fact that you have a smaller house is not a requirement that you have a small dog. You need to think about what's the activity level. This goes back to that. If you rent versus own, got to remember, puppies sometimes have mistakes. And so if you're in a rental house, this could be something to keep back your mind. And how the dog is contained has to do with how safe it is. And that has to be part of your consideration. Number five on our list of considerations is time. How much time do you have? Do you work full time? Then you don't have a lot of time for a new dog. Do you work from home? Okay. Are you retired? How about your children? How many? What age? How old? Certain dog breeds need more time. Certain ones don't. Certain dog breeds do better with children than others. And the age of the child frequently has a great deal to do with that. Do you have the time to teach your children about interacting properly with a dog? These are things that are important in your decision-making process about what type of dog, when to get the dog. Also has to be part of the thinking process. Number six on the list, do you have other pets? Do you have cats? Do you have birds? Do you have another dog? When you're thinking about acquiring a new dog, certain breeds do best not having another member of the same sex. Akitas are a great breed that comes to mind. Akitas generally and typically do not get along with members of the same sex. That's just part of who they are. You need to know that sort of thing, and you need to be talking to breeders. You need to be asking these questions when you're looking into your new dog. A great place to do that is to stop by a dog show. There's dog shows all around the country, and there's going to be one near you, and you can visit the different breeds that make it onto your short list. And you can talk to folks that own those dogs and breeders of those dogs who can give you more and more in-depth information to help you make informed decisions about the dog that's going to come in and be with you for 10, 12, 15 years. So first you want to find a breeder that's willing to talk with you and help you with questions and problems and mentor you if you choose to compete with your dog at any level. Your breeder is always going to be your first resource. So talk to a few people until you find somebody you really click with, somebody you really like, and somebody you enjoy chatting with, because I promise you, you're going to chat with them a lot. Take a look as you get more narrowed down and you've maybe gotten to a specific breed and a specific breeder or a couple different breeders within that breed that you want to talk to, take a look at the health clearances on the litter that your breeder is talking to you about. You want to research these at the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals and at the Canine Health Information Center. And we can make sure there's links for you on the show notes for you to go look for those and get more information about that. You can ask the breeders about contracts and about their health guarantees. Understand that, just like people, some dogs develop health issues, even in the most carefully planned families. But a good, a responsible, a preservation breeder is going to be working with you, is going to give you some assurance that they have done the work to create a healthy puppy to bring into the world for you, and that they will stand behind the work that they've done, and that if anything should ever happen, they will always take that dog back, and that the dog will never have to go anywhere but back to the breeder. Okay, those are the sorts of things that you should be looking for when you are coming down to these decisions about place or the person from whom you're going to buy your new dog. Here's a rub. This is where we run into problems a lot. Good and responsible preservation breeders may very well not have a puppy for you right now. I can almost guarantee 90% of the time, you're not going to get to go somewhere and pick up your puppy and go home. This goes back to the we're not shopping for a new car, right? A puppy isn't an impulse purchase. You need to think about planning ahead. And depending on the breed, you're going to be waiting 6 months, maybe a year at least, until the breeder that you were wanting to work with has the right puppy for you. If you've done your research and planned ahead, this wait will be very well worth the effort. And sometimes the right dog comes along at just the right time. But you have to be willing to be flexible. If you've expressed an interest to the breeder, if something comes up, a dog comes back, if that's a possibility, that's great. But realistically, you're going to be waiting for a little while before you get a chance to bring that dog home with you. Something to kind of keep in mind as you're looking at your new dog. As a breeder, I've had people say to me, and I also do a lot of work in rescue, people say they only want a puppy because they want it to bond with them. Personal experience and reality, I'm going to tell you, I've spent 30 years placing dogs, puppies, rescues, old dogs, young dogs, teenage dogs. Trust me, given a little bit of time and a little bit of love and a little bit of patience, a dog of any age will bond with their person, the person who feeds her and pats her and gives her a warm and comfortable place. There is no requirement or age limit for that. If you don't require a puppy and you have no interest in breeding, but you want a purebred dog, there are a couple options for you to consider. Breed-specific rescue and a breeder rehome, all right? Every breed has a parent club. In other words, a national breed club whose goal is to preserve and protect their breed. Most of these parent clubs can refer you to breed-specific rescue organizations. We'll leave you some links on the show notes so that you can find parent club and associated breed rescues that might interest you. Option number two, if you will, is the idea of a breeder rehome. And this is if a puppy isn't really right for you at this point in your life, all right, but you still want to work with something that's a known quantity, talk to that breeder of your choice about the possibility of rehoming an older dog, a young adult retired show dog, a retired breeding dog, even a young prospect that didn't pan out. Many times, breeders are willing to part with these dogs in order to ensure that the dog has a great one-on-one home with more individual attention. And let's face it, no matter how much time I spend with my 10 or 12 dogs at home, I'm never going to be able to give each one of them the same amount of attention that they would get if they were an only dog. And these are kind of like the hidden gems, if you will, of the purebred dog world. These are dogs that have had a lot of time put into them most of the time. They're well socialized. They've been to dog shows. They've traveled. They're crate trained. They're leash trained. They are wonderful companions who are happy to have all the couch time they possibly could get. And they make great pets. So now you've chosen a breeder. You've decided to go with a puppy. And now what kind of qualities are you looking for in your puppy? You need to read and study the breed standard for your new dog. Know what disqualifying faults are in the show ring if you plan to pursue that goal. Understand what the temperament is supposed to be for your breed. And then keep in mind that even within a well-bred litter, differences in temperament, activity level, etc., are going to pop up. If it's at all possible, visit the litter in person. You're going to get to see the interaction of the puppies, the interaction of the puppies with the dam, the interaction of the puppies with the breeder, with you, etc., with their environment. Some of these puppies are going to be bolder. Some are going to be a little more reserved or a little more laid back. But you want to see puppies generally that are happy to see people, come running up to the front of the pen, or at least come toward you for attention. Puppies that are active, as we like to say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They should be curious and clean and healthy. Keep in mind, puppies poopy. They're going to poopy. They're going to trample in it, and I guarantee you they're going to trample in it right before you get there. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about when I say clean. I'm talking about a pen or their area that is bright and well-lit and ventilated. It's warm, but it's not stuffy. Generally, clean bedding, toys, fresh water, and puppies that are obviously accustomed to human interaction. This is really an important part of the process. Baby puppies are like sponges. They take in all kinds of experiences, literally from the minute they're born. And there are a lot of really excellent early conditioning that breeders can do and should do to make sure that the puppy that you're taking home has its very best chance of fitting well into society. I mean, there's work that you're going to need to do once you get your puppy, but there's a whole lot of work that is done and can be done in those first couple of months before it comes to you. So as you're looking at these puppies and maybe seeing pictures of them, maybe playing with them in the whelping box, understand you won't necessarily get to, quote unquote, pick your puppy. Hopefully you've chosen a breeder to work with that you trust to make a good match. And this is a breeder who is going to have a lot of knowledge about the breed and about these puppies, and you are going to have had a chance to chat with that breeder sufficiently that they understand your lifestyle, and that's going to make it easier for them to make a proper placement and a good match of the individual puppy in each litter with your family. Remember, no breeder in their right mind is going to guarantee you that an 8-week-old puppy is going to turn into a best in show dog. Most of them aren't going to even guarantee it'll be a show champion. We can make an educated guess, but even that isn't foolproof. Most of these breeders are planning for the future of their breeding program, and they are probably doing this litter in order for them to keep one for themselves. And they're going to keep the best one for themselves. That's why we do this. But we want to make sure that everybody is properly matched with the right puppy. So you getting to pick out the one you think is most adorable might not be the best match for you from what the breeder has observed about the puppies and about your family and your lifestyle. If you want to get a great dog from a great breeder, may I recommend that you're going to expect to start with a dog who's solid, it's well-bred, going to be a good representative of the breed, but it might not be an exceptional show dog, and you're going to work with that breeder and establish a relationship, a mentoring relationship with them, so that you can work towards the goal of getting a really good one. The next time the breeder has a litter and they have a really great dog, maybe they're willing to consider sharing that great dog with you because you have worked with them sufficiently and proven that you can be trusted to do right by their dog. Remember that for us that breed dogs, these are our kids. Just the realities of what breeders are most likely to part with. You stand a better chance of getting a really great male dog than a female dog. Something else to think about. Keep in mind, color, male or female, that sort of thing. In most instances, these are going to be less important priorities than the right temperament and the right personality and the best health for your family. So always remember that when you're making your choices. Okay. The day finally arrives. Your precious bundle is ready to come home with you. Congratulations.
Yay.
Now the fun really starts. If you're headed for the show ring eventually, take a few minutes to listen to our podcast on growing up your show dog and for some training tips on making the best future for your new buddy. Best wishes and best of luck. Let us know if you have any questions. We'll be happy to do a podcast just for you. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here.
take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.